When our desire for the things of the Spirit and of God becomes overwhelmingly high above all other desires, when our passion and love is undivided for God and God alone, there is a spiritual union that takes place in the bond of the Spirit with our spirits, such that the energy of the Holy Spirit, and all the might of the work of God's angels, guides our lives and destinies. A mighty stream of abundant life and energy carries us throughout our daily earthly life, and we are able to accomplish things of great impact upon the spiritual world even in our earthly bodies. This desire for the energy of the Spirit and of angels to work mightily through our lives is not by the rejection of all tilings in the physical life, but rather of recognition that only in harmony with the realm of the Spirit can we truly experience abundantly all that we are supposed to be and to do in this earthly domain. Jesus said that He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10:10. This is not just speaking about the abundance of mere materialism, but rather it speaks of the abundance of spiritual energy and life that will propel us through our physical earthly destinies. We need to be conscious of the spiritual while we go about our physical lives. In that manner the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, is in dominion upon the physical world through our obedience to the spiritual realm. We need to learn to set our minds and affections, our passions, consciousness and desires, upon things above while we walk the earth below, Colossians 3-2. Pursue love, peace and joy, for anything outside of this is outside of the boundary of the kingdom of God. Unforgiveness. In the spirit world, unforgiveness is like a spiritual tie which binds a person to the one they do not forgive and pulls them down. I saw in the spirit world how those who live in unforgiveness are dragged down to the lowest spiritual level of those who have sinned against them. No matter how hard they try to progress upwards, it seems like a gravitational force pulls them downwards to those who have sinned against them and whom they have not forgiven. In the Lord's Prayer we are taught to pray that we be forgiven as we forgive those who sin against us, Matthew 6:12. It does not mean that our Heavenly Father will not forgive us if we do not forgive others, for our Father in heaven is most loving, gracious and merciful and forgives us through the redemption of Christ. Rather it is because we are not released from being bonded to the gravitational pull of the sin of the one who sins against us unless we forgive them. The emphasis in the Lord's Prayer is on the "forgive us as we forgive others." The as emphasizes the connection of our ability to forgive and our reception of forgiveness rather than the Father's ability to forgive us. In a sense, our Heavenly Father is blocked by our own free will from blessing us with His forgiveness. Thus the intent, the willingness, the ability and the power of our Heavenly Father is never questioned, rather our ability to receive His forgiveness is blocked by our free choice. In a similar manner, neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any created thing can separate us from the love of God, Romans 8:38, 39, yet from a free will perspective, we can choose to reject God's love. In this situation of rejection via free will, the ability of the love of God to reach us is not blocked from God's perspective but rather from the human perspective. The moment we forgive those who sin against us, the bondage of that sin over our lives is broken and we are indeed freed spiritually from its downward pull. In the spiritual world, people are not only dragged down by their sins but those who do not forgive them of their sin are also spiritually dragged down by its gravitational pull. Sin causes damage to the character and spiritual body of its doer. It also causes the same damage to those who cannot forgive others of the same sin, thus preventing spiritual progress. Our personification of love, Jesus, forgave those who crucified Him. We should also be able, through God's love, to forgive those who sin against us. One is not healed inwardly until one forgives. Not desiring revenge or harm on our enemies is only half of unforgiveness. We also need to grow to the point that all we desire is good and love towards our enemies. Great is the impact of all our love and hate in this world upon ourselves. Progress in the spiritual world is not possible until all our hate turn into pure love and benevolence. The spiritual universe consists of many different spheres of light that radiate from all the worlds that God has created and reaches right to the heaven of heavens, the throne of God. It is brimming with life and activity of all the creations of God in various dimensions, each fulfilling their destiny. All the human activity of the earth in this present generation and in all the history of men combined is only one tiny dot in all the activities of the spiritual universe. Between the beginning of the spheres of light and the spheres of darkness that radiate from the earth is an intermediate sphere, which for lack of a better term, we shall call the earth sphere. The light spheres nearer the earth are not that dissimilar to the earth, except that everything is perfect and it does not have the ugly things of the earth. This is to enable those who at death are ready for the light of the spiritual spheres to grow and develop further in an environment familiar to them while they grow and progress to the heavens of God. Everything moves like music and harmony. There are far more colors and harmony of colors than we can perceive on this earth. Everything is more radiant and full of joy. There are two categories of spheres, one of a spiritual ether material type, a type of spiritual light matter. God said let there be light, Genesis 1-3, like the planets or solar systems in which the spheres surround, the other spheres of a soul spiritual development type that transverse the systems. The spheres surrounding the planets or solar systems are for the growth of creatures of God through their particular system, planetary spheres. The spheres of a soul spiritual type are for the development of the spirit towards the fullness of God, which is the center of all these spheres, celestial spheres. These second category spheres are greater and enclose all the other spheres. Within each sphere are smaller spheres of growth at the level of the sphere in which the smaller spheres are. Like a wheel within a wheel, Ezekiel 1:15, 16. A third category of sphere, of which only a glimpse is given, is the highest, and it radiates from the very throne of God and consists of pure spirit essence, the God spheres. All the planetary spheres revolve around the celestial spheres, which in turn revolve around the God spheres. There are many heavens where the presence of God is manifested to a different degree in each sphere. All planetary spheres of God have their own heaven and progress to the heaven of heavens where God dwells. The glory of each heaven is progressively greater, with the least glory in the sphere of heaven nearer the earth and the greatest glory in the sphere of heaven nearest to the heaven of heavens. Although there are innumerable heavens in each creation of God, all the heavens and creations can be classified into three main categories. The first heaven containing planetary spheres that belong to the particular solar systems, the second heaven containing the celestial spheres which belong to the space between solar systems, and the third heaven containing the God spheres which radiate directly outwards from the throne of God himself. The progression of spiritual growth is not just in glory alone but also in dimension, until it reaches the dimension of God where all dimensions known to us of time, space, unipresence, etc. disappear, because God is outside of all the dimensions which he has created. For a human spirit that has just left the mortal body, even the first sphere of light would be a paradise compared to the present physical world. There is no death or decay or any of the earthly imperfections, only love, peace and joy. God is able to manifest himself in any part of the spiritual universe without leaving his throne. This manifestation takes a spiritual form with all the glory of God as tailored to the specific glory realm of the place where the revelation of God is unfolded. Angels and spirits in the highest spheres also possess a measure of this ability to project their presence in a spiritual form without leaving their places of abode. This spiritual form is alive with the life of the spirit and responsive to all the thoughts, will and emotion of the originating source. There is no natural comparison to this. Time, space and reality in the spiritual world are not as unbending as their physical counterparts, of time, space and matter. Part of the progress in the spiritual world is to break free from always thinking in our physical three-dimensional ways. The spheres of darkness. Starting at the realm below the earth are different underworld spheres in which are spirits of men in the most grotesque forms. They are almost indistinguishable from demons. When humans in the physical realm lend themselves to evil desires and thoughts, they attract the influences of evil spirits, some of which rise from the very deep darkness in Hades momentarily to try to reign over their lives, James 3-6. These evil spirits cannot remain in the earth sphere without humans of their own free will allowing themselves to be dominated by these evil spirits. From time to time, where a community, society or city yield themselves to evil, it looks like a volcanic eruption in the spirit world when momentarily the dark fires and lava of Hades flows onto the surface of the earth, subjugating the human society until spiritual light is once again restored through human vessels who yield themselves to the divine light of Christ, and the evil spirits retreat into their dark abyss. Below the intermediate realm, the spheres of darkness begin and reach right into the bowels of the earth. The outer realms of the spheres of darkness are like twilight, but as one progresses deeper, it becomes progressively darker into the depths of Hades. Within this realm is a section of outer darkness which Jesus said has weeping and the gnashing of teeth, Matthew 8:12. The intermediate sphere. A great number of Christians of the lowest category, 1 Corinthians 3:15, are found in this realm. Many of them who have lived worldly and materialistic, unholy and selfish lives remain in the lowest of the earth spheres. The love of the Father is not fully developed in their lives, 1 John 2:15. They were surprised at the dimness of light which greeted them. When a spirit departs from the physical body at death, it remains at the same spiritual level as it was when it died. There is no instantaneous super-spiritual growth. The character the spirit had while in the physical body is the same character it retains when it leaves the body. The measurement of true spiritual growth is Christ-likeness and not just knowledge about Christ or knowledge of his redemption. Mental knowledge does not transform a person, but revelation and true heart knowledge of Christ transforms one to be like Christ. Some Christians who think that the redemption grace of Christ at the cross gives them permission to keep sinning violate the very purpose for which Christ came for them, and that is to make them in his own image, to be free from sin and bear fruit unto holiness and everlasting life, Romans 8:29, 6:15, 22. The intermediate sphere is also primarily populated by spirits in whom there is still some light of redemption based on the light of their conscience, Romans 2:11-16. There are many different levels in the earth sphere ranging from very dry and parched landscapes to those resembling paradise as one goes higher. Many thousands of various sections, each one like a totally different country, exist within this sphere, each catering for the diversities of spiritual schools and education still necessary for those whose spirits of redemption quality and who have only a partial revelation of Christ through their conscience, Romans 2 category. The revelation of Christ is given in varying degrees to all those in accordance to their spiritual development. Spirits in the earth sphere are not able to see all of the glory of Christ in the highest heavens, but a measure of the light of Christ is given dimly at this level. Some of those humans who have OB, out-of-body experiences, and NDE, near-death experiences, saw this realm without seeing the light of Christ. Others saw this realm and came to know the light of Christ. Many had a genuine experience in the spirit world but did not interpret it correctly. For in this realm are thousands of redeemed souls who acts now serving as ministering spirits and depending on the spiritual development of the ministering spirit assigned to humans with OBs or NDEs, they are given only a partial knowledge of the spirit world. It is wrong of them to assume that their partial knowledge is the total knowledge of the spirit world. For this reason, some of the knowledge acquired from OBs and NDEs seems to be contradictory to one another. For even within the spirit realm, free will is still respected and redeemed spirits progress from one level of knowledge to another level from glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. No revelation is ever forced upon a redeemed spirit, but each must acquire and come to know the full revelation of Christ and of God as they progress. Everyone who physically dies on the earth enters first into this region, after which they are separated either into darkness or light, Ezekiel 26:20. Ideally, spirits should not be in this sphere for long, but many who lived their lives without preparation for a spiritual eternity end up spending a longer time in this realm than they should. There are a vast number of schools and very earth-like, but more perfect, worlds within this realm which exist so that spirits would not feel discomforted by the vast realities of the spiritual world. Many of those who died without preparation for life in the spiritual realm still think that they are in their body or in a dream. The light of Christ is very, very dim in this realm. Some spirits, especially those of suicides or others who pass from the physical world suddenly, are still attached to their earthly life and thoughts and keep reliving the pain of their lives in themselves. Others, whose lives and natures are already in darkness, almost immediately plunge into the darkness of the spheres of darkness, attracted to and tormented by other spirits like themselves. Those who live in the light while on the earth almost immediately ascend to the spheres of light. Spirits in the intermediate sphere sometimes wander around like lost souls, some still thinking that they are physically alive, on the physical earth before they are separated into either the spheres of darkness or the spheres of light. Matthew 12:43. It is very, very important to take time to prepare for life in the spiritual world while we have physical life. God is saddened by the great numbers of people who live their physical lives without any thought or preparation for the spiritual world. The tunnel of light that many people see in death is just a passageway through the spheres of darkness that surround the earth to the intermediate realm and to the realm of the spheres of light. False revelation from the spirit world. When a human seeks to acquire knowledge of the spirit world out of carnal desire or out of curiosity, in the worst case scenario they would be misled by evil spirits who give them a perverted view of the spirit world, or in the best occasion, under the permissive will of God, they receive instruction from a spirit from the intermediate sphere which is only a partial view of the spirit world. Three tests of the purity of knowledge that comes from the spirit world are: 1. Consistency with the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16. If it contradicts the Bible, stay clear of it. 2. Jesus is the Word and the Word is God, John 1:1. If it lowers Jesus Christ from his position of Godhead, stay clear of it. 3. The blood and atonement of Jesus, Revelation 5:8-10, John 14:6. Redemption is not by good works but through the blood of the Lamb of God, Revelation 5:12, Hebrews 9:14, 10:10, 19. Earth and its invisible spheres as it revolves around the sun. One should in this life seek to accept by faith the redemption of Christ and allow the Spirit of Christ to come into the heart to transform oneself into the very image of Christ, walking in perfect love and holiness. If God should allow one to experience the spirit world, be thankful for it but never seek it out of carnal desire. If you keep walking faithful to God with what you already have, God would give you more in accordance with his will. For eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, 1 Corinthians 2-9. A pure desire to flow with the spiritual world so as to grow and to be a greater service of love to others opens the door for the ministering spirits to work in our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart for they shall see God, Matthew 5:8. Progression in the spiritual world. One continues to grow and progress even in the perfection of the spiritual world. Progression is through love and service to others. Self-interest is a hindrance to spiritual progress. This applies to both self-centeredness in self-seeking self-preservation and even spiritual self-seeking. There is such a thing as spiritual selfishness where one seeks only to progress oneself spiritually. Sadly, this in itself hinders growth. True growth comes by being godlike, with pure love and benevolence towards others. In the spiritual world, spirits progress by helping others. Unconscious of one's own spirituality or glory, the motivation of love and care towards others transforms a spirit internally into a greater and higher glorious state. He who seeks his life will lose it, but he who loses his life will find it, Luke 17:33. There is no place for self-centeredness in the spiritual world. It is the source of sin, iniquity and darkness. Humans who live on this earth are so used to self-interest and self-preservation that we do not realize how contrary it is in nature to our true inward selves and the reality of the spiritual world. The true moments of glory that shine in human events are when the self is forgotten in an act of pure love. There is a form of self-sacrifice that is still selfish, 1 Corinthians 13-3, and there is another form of pure self-sacrifice that is born out of the power of God's love in us, John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. The best spiritual state of being and mindset to be in is to be completely absorbed and in union with the presence of God's love and be living our lives out of the propulsion and energy of love that consumes us and causes us to love and care for others. The transformation of glory is greatest in this state of being, just like Moses was completely unaware of the glory affecting him as he talked to God and ministered to the people under his charge, Exodus 34:29-30. The Apostle Paul, who speaks about the glory of God that transforms from glory to glory, also spoke of the love of God that moved and constrained him to do all that he did, 2 Corinthians 3:18, 4:16-18, 5:14. Material world from the spiritual view. From our material and physical perspective, the spiritual world seems to be airy-fairy. A dimension that is not solid to our physical senses. From the perspective of the spiritual world, it is our material world that is not of solid substance. The only real and solid things in the spiritual world are those made up of spiritual substance. Everything material looks like it is made up of vapor, James 4:14. From the highest spiritual perspective, the whole material world looks like a mist that is fragile and about to be blown away. One can understand why it looks so foolish to the spiritual world when humans, born to live in the spiritual world, spend their entire lives hoarding up material riches for themselves, all of which are made up of temporal substance and will all soon pass away like mist. All material things which are visible to us physically are temporal, 2 Corinthians 4:18. To spirits who live in the highest glory of God, it is almost invisible, and only the spiritual condition of the earth and the spiritual condition of men are visible, for the spiritual is the only true reality in the spiritual world. However, to the spirits of the earthly spheres, the material world is still visible to a certain extent. For this reason, the earthly spheres are thus called earthly spheres because of their strong links and relations to the material earth. The important things in the spirit world, from the spiritual perspective, the achievements in this life, success at an accomplishment, acquiring a position, purchasing a new asset, etc., do not figure very much. Rather, how one relates to other people, how one helps others, and how one is of service to another is the greater accomplishment. Growth in the spiritual world is measured by how much one becomes of service to another. The greatest in the spiritual world is the servant of all, Mark 10:44. This present physical world focuses on mental acquisition and outward results, but in the spiritual world they focus on the inner cause and source of the results. For it is a spiritual law that when an individual is inwardly transformed by receiving the impartation of God's life and light, the results would be automatically secured. Thus the spiritual world focuses on individuals absorbing the truth of God into their very substance and not just mental knowledge of a truth. The reason why it takes time for the outward manifestation of an inward reception and impartation is because the inward transformation is incomplete. Even though sometimes individuals think, mentally, and convince themselves that they already have it, in their true selves they haven't got it fully yet until it is an automatic, subconscious and habitual part of their daily lives. When one first receives a truth or a new impartation and understanding of life, they do not have it until it is within their subconscious, in their actions, and is a part of their daily habit of life. It is not just when we think and believe about something that we have it, but it is when we are practicing the truth that we truly have it. It is when we are not thinking about it and yet it forms part of our substance of life consciousness that we truly have absorbed it into us. In the spirit world, all truth is simultaneously a substance of life and not just mere knowledge, John 14:6. Whoever abides in him does not sin, whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him, 1 John 3:6. Whoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed remains, abides as a part of the life substance and principle of the individual and not mere mental knowledge, in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God, 1 John 3-9. Don't just believe in love, practice love until it is a part of your life, until your very nature becomes the love nature of God. The spiritual world focuses on growth, knowing that growth will automatically produce the progress, but the natural physical world focuses on effort. This physical focus on effort has overstrained and overtaxed a great number of people, and thus they are spiritually exhausted. Their spiritual energy is dissipated and they are spiritually empty. Rather than replenishing their spiritual energy, they continue in their own physical strength like a zombie, an empty physical shell. If one will grow into things, one would find that life is like flowing in a life stream of energy carried by the power supplied within our spiritual beings to naturally and automatically accomplish that which is our destiny. There is minimum effort where free choice and personal volition is still required, but it is done from a state of rest and not from a state of strained effort. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works, Hebrews 4:10. We are to walk in the works that God has prepared beforehand, already completed in the spiritual realm and inwardly imparted into our spirits, for us, and not run or strain or stress to accomplish them, Ephesians 2:10. It would be like Adam and Eve walking in the Garden of Eden which God had prepared for them. They were told to subdue and have dominion. As we walk, subduing and having dominion, in the works that God has prepared for us, it is a gift of God and not our own efforts, Ephesians 2:8. Rather, it is the result of God's workmanship in us, Ephesians 2:10. This workmanship is the inner working, transformation and impartation that takes place within our spirits. It is not our self-effort but the power of God's grace working in us and through us, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Abide in Christ and let Christ abide in you, and you will bear much fruit, John 15:5. For without him, we can do nothing. All our efforts are empty and produce empty results in the spiritual realm. The greatest is love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Progress in the spiritual world is through service and love. Many who read this and begin to perceive the requirement in the spiritual world to progress to the highest realm will sometimes be too eager to push themselves to reach the highest sphere. This is not possible because everything in the spiritual world progresses by growth and not just mere knowledge and effort. Most of the time we acquire mental knowledge and understanding without the proper growth and practiced time to allow the newly understood knowledge to become part of our substance. We place it on the mental shelf and move to another area and think that just because we have understood it mentally, that we have it. Even in the natural world, we do not expect to develop muscles or acquire a professional skill overnight. Just because we have read a book about football does not mean that we can be experts in playing football. Just because we read a how-to book about gardening does not make us horticulturalists. It takes practice and time to acquire a professional skill and make it a part of our lives. It takes time to allow a new spiritual truth that we have been shown to become part of our spiritual substance. The time period of growth involves daily exercising and practicing this truth until it becomes a part of our consciousness and habit without effort. The doing part is important and not just the knowing part. For to hear and to know is merely like a man who builds his house on the sand. Only the man who daily, patiently, constantly and persistently puts to practice the truths of Christ will become a man who builds his house on the rock, Matthew 7:24. There are many Christians who are walking around without spiritual foundation because all they go about in their Christian life is to assimilate truth by merely knowing and understanding. To grow in the spiritual world, one must give and live benevolent agape love to one another. This ability comes from the love of God the Father, which the individual receives through Jesus from God the Father and omnipotent creator and ruler of all universes. All spirits in the spiritual world are helping another one lesser than themselves. Every upward progress is based upon service and dedication to those lesser than them. There is no place for self or pride in the spiritual realm because all spirit beings understand that the greatest joy and sense of well-being comes through helping and serving one another. It is important that one progresses faithfully through each sphere of glory through service. This growth process cannot be hurried or hastened, for the manifold fullness of each development level must be attained, otherwise the lack becomes apparent at the higher level sphere. The more one becomes less self-conscious and becomes fully conscious only of the joy and love consciousness of serving others, the more one is able to progress. The higher one progresses spiritually, the more one becomes like God in pure benevolence and love towards all. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him, 1 John 4:16.